is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Jesus is about people's lives, not about laws. The laws are good for us. They keep us safe, but He's not about them. He's not going to go up and say, you did this law and you were against that law. He's going to say, look, first, you didn't receive my son. And second, you didn't love people. You didn't care about people. You did not represent me to the world. He mocks their oversight and their sense of priorities. But before we move on, I just want to say, be careful how you establish your priorities. What things you think are important.
The religious leaders mentioned in today's message had their priorities all mixed up. Jesus was concerned about people's lives, not about their laws. Pastor Troy encourages us to look at the priorities of our own lives and to guard our hearts against wrong choices. We need to honor God in every decision. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
They were always looking for a loophole. They were very hypocritical. Words went one direction, actions went a different direction. And because of that, Jesus calls them blind guides. People can't get to me from you because you're leading them. You're blind and you're misleading them with all that you say and you don't do. And I think that's one of the biggest problems with children who grow up in Christian or, let's say, church-going homes. People who say, I'm a believer. The kids grow up and they watch the believer not believe, cuss, get on them, do all the things the world does, not do anything admirable, noble, or that says, I depend on and I trust the Lord. And they go, well, if that's the church, I don't need it. And they're blind guides. Jesus is not happy with blind guides. And there's more. He's not done yet. Verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. He's not saying that it's not good that you get so scrupulous in your tithe. He's saying, no, you should have done that. That's good. But the weightier matters you overlook, thinking you're okay with all the details. Justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. He's getting on to them because they had become very tedious in their tithing, in their giving. Tedious. They would take the little seeds, little cumin seeds, and just divide them up, little 10, you know, say like peppercorns or something, just 10 there out of 100. I mean, they were just very immaculate, very precise. I want to make sure I give to God. He's saying, you do all of that, but the big obvious things, you're overlooking, you're failing at. History tells us that they would actually do this. They would divide up the little tiny cumin seeds one by one in order to make sure a tenth was given to the Lord. They did this so precisely, but Jesus is not rebuking their precision. Understand that. He's just saying that their precision and their attention to details kept them from the important things, like walking by faith. Got to walk by law. No, how about faith in God? and caring about people instead of caring about the rules. Did they count out 10 of them? You could say this: the Pharisees were more concerned about laws than the lost. They were more concerned about policies than they were about people. And he mocks their oversight and sense of priorities with a funny illustration. If you didn't catch that, he calls them blind guides who strain out a gnat and follow a camel. You know what a gnat is, right? Very, very tiny, almost like a fly type thing. Very, very tiny. I mean, they get caught right here in your eye, you know, and you just kind of take them out because they're so small. Well, what they would do is, because gnats were unclean and camels were unclean, they would filter out even their drinks, you know, just pouring it through, because they didn't want a gnat to even end up in their drink, so that when they're drinking, they end up taking in an unclean animal, a gnat. So they would strain them out, you know, oh yeah, I got some strained drink now. He said, you're doing that, but you're swallowing a camel, straining the gnat, but you got this big camel, you know, in your mouth. He says, man, you guys have a wrong sense of priorities. You're taking care of the small stuff. You should be taking care of the important stuff. Jesus is about people's lives, not about laws. The laws are good for us. They keep us safe. But he's not about them. He's not going to go up and say, you did this law and you were against that law. He's going to say, look, first, you didn't receive my son. And second, you didn't love people. You didn't care about people. You did not represent me to the world. He mocks their oversight and their sense of priorities. But before we move on, I just want to say, be careful how you establish your priorities. What things you think are important. Some focus so much on discipline type things, outward things, how to behave, how to do, and I know we need to instruct in that, but they don't ever minister to the heart. They fail to be careful. For example, they may say, we're going to church and this is how you behave at church. Or this is how you need to act and this is how you need to talk. But that same person might sit them in front of the TV and not care about what's going into their heart. They're not protecting their heart. So what they're doing with their children is they're straining the gnats so the child does not get any gnats at all. But they're choking on camels. They're taking in the attitudes of the world. They're taking in the things from the world. And it's making them slowly but surely a little more worldly. We need a simplicity, and we need to remember that it's what goes into the heart that matters. Jesus is going to speak to that right now. Life is too short to get busy with things in the world that will make us better in the world. God wants us to work on the heart to make us more concerned about the things eternal, the things that honor God. And he says in verse 25, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. He goes right for the heart here. He says, you do things that make you look good, look righteous, but you are not righteous. In fact, on the inside, he says, you're full of hypocrisy, lawlessness. Lawlessness is not extortion, self-indulgence, indulging yourself, because I got to have, it's got to be for me. But that word lawlessness isn't a word that means you are just an evil person. This lawlessness means I have no sense of order and discipline in my life. There is no God who directs and tells me what I should do. You're lawless. You have no sense of government. They think they're governed by their rules, but God wants the heart. And he compares them to whitewashed tombs. Whitewashed tombs were graves. They would bring them in like a little cutout stone, and you could walk into it, and bodies would be in there, and they'd roll a stone over there. But during feasts like the Passover, you'd have to be clean. You weren't to walk within a certain distance of a grave, a dead body. And so what they would do is wherever the tombs were, they would whitewash them. They would paint them white so that they would clearly stand out. And they did it brand new every year because it was a festive time. They wanted the city to look good. And so they would brand new whitewashing so that they would stand out. Oh, graves. Okay, don't get so close to those so that I'm not unclean. But inside, even though they stayed away, inside it was death. And that's what Jesus is saying to them. You look good on the outside, but on the inside you're full of death and decay, or you stink on the inside. His word to them is, get your heart right first. Then the outward will be genuine rather than just fixed by some set of rules or standards. See, Jesus, he came to deal with the heart of man. He said, you say committing adultery, that's the wrong, but I say that if you lust after someone, after one in your own heart, you've committed it. I came to deal with the heart. James speaks about the tongue, and he says, we can't control the tongue. And it's true. So the workaround is to make sure what's in the heart, which passes over the tongue, is pure, is good. We have to do heart work because we can't control the tongue. The tongue is going to bring out of it whatever it draws from the heart. If it's negative stuff, if it's negativity, if it's discouragement, if it's anger, if it's hatred, whatever it is, if it's violence, those kinds of thoughts is going to draw from the heart. And so the workaround is to make sure what goes in the heart is not violence, is not all of these other things, but is whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is righteous, noble. Think upon such things. God told Samuel, man looks at the appearance, but God looks at the heart. So not only does he address the heart, but he mentions their heritage. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. See, they were already tired of hearing, your father the prophets did this. You're just like them. And so they would say, well, if we had been back there, we would not have done that. And this is where it gets interesting, because Jesus is about to say, in fact, he does say, yes, you would have. In fact, you're going to get the opportunity not to do it, and you're going to do it. That's what he says. Therefore, verse 31, therefore you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. What generation? The generation standing before him right now saying, we wouldn't do such a thing. He said, yep, all this is going to come. The whole fulfillment. You're going to kill me, the Christ. You're going to silence my words. And you're going to kill the prophets or the apostles who come and share the message with you. So don't say you wouldn't have done it. You're going to do it. And you're going to do it at the worst time in history to do it. At the fulfillment of all they spoke about. I've heard so many say, if I lived back in the garden, I wouldn't have ate the fruit. But, see, you're operating with some hindsight first. So maybe with this hindsight, maybe we do make a different decision. I'm sure with Adam and Eve's hindsight, they would make a different decision. The point is this, we can't keep trying to do things by hindsight because then we already make the mistakes. We need to learn to do things by faith. avoiding the mistakes. Because God tells us. He told Adam and Eve, don't do this. They didn't get it. They didn't do it. They had to taste and see for themselves. We need to learn to walk by faith. The righteous, the just, says they shall live by faith. They are not those who live by hindsight all the time. We do, but not consistently. We need to learn to walk by faith because that's how the just live. Now, I want you to soak in verses 32 and 33. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. What he's saying is all this culminates, all that they have done and denied culminates in this time right now. So you fulfill this. And then he says, serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Now we know God to be a loving God. Could a loving God say something so harsh? Well, he just did. Yes, if it's true. That's the nice thing. He doesn't say it just as some outburst. Like we might say, go to hell. We're really not, that's an outburst in someone's anger. And they say that. That's evil. You should never say something like that if you understand what in the world that is. But Jesus isn't giving some outburst. He's speaking the truth. And when it's the truth, it needs to be heard. One of the most loving things that you can do is to warn someone who is headed for danger, right? Don't get on that raft. There's whitewater rapids that will kick you off. And if you do hang on, there's a waterfall that it's going to destroy you. You cannot survive it. No one has. That's a warning. But somebody might say, how dare you keep me from having fun? I'm all for fun. But I just know the end of that. I know the trouble you will get yourself into. That's loving. I tell my kids when they were babies, I would tell them, don't stick their finger in the light socket. Don't stick your hand on the hot pan. It's loving. But from their perspective, without all that knowledge, they might think, but I want to do that. Why would they tell me not to? And some children actually try it and find out. They end up with curly hair. No, just kidding, Mike. Luke. I don't think that ever happened. But the Lord is saying, you know, this is a truth. And he's not telling them you can't go to heaven. What he's telling them is you won't. You won't. Not you can't, but you guys will not. His heart was not to condemn. His heart's to save. Listen to what he says in verse 37. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The problem with the Pharisees is they were hypocrites. They assumed they were okay, so they didn't need to hear it. Isn't that what frustrates you the most when you're trying to share the gospel with somebody? You know they're not living it. You know they're not walking it. They go, I don't know about you. I love Jesus. No, you don't get it. You don't love Jesus. You accept him. You tolerate him. You know, you say, okay, I believe, kind of like Satan does. But you don't really believe. He's telling you not to get in that raft that's going to go over the edge, and you keep getting in the raft. And they get comfortable in their life. They get comfortable faking it. In the case of the religious people, they get comfortable in the fact that they look better than everybody else. I'm fine. But Jesus says several times, woe to you, hypocrites. Because looking good does not get you to heaven. Acting good, behaving, having a nice moral life does not get you to heaven. If we could all learn to be a little more honest, actually I'd say a lot more honest with God about who we are and what he's actually saying, instead of what we want to think he said, I imagine he'd be able to do so much more in our lives. What's sad is not that they could not believe. It's sad that they would not believe. Jesus says, how I wanted to gather you, but you were not willing. It's a matter of the will. Lee Strobel was a former atheist. Brilliant guy. He was a journalist. Married his wife. They had a great marriage. He was an atheist, staunch atheist. She was kind of agnostic, unsure about it all. She ends up giving her life to the Lord, going to church, and her life began to change. And he thought, I did not sign up for this. And so being a journalist, he said, you know what? I'll go and I'll find out if this stuff is true. You know, I need the evidence. So I'm going to do some research. I'm a journalist. I have contacts. So I'm going to go to contacts. I'm going to find out and start to try to disprove some of the Bible. So he took all of his resources. He went out on this search to try to disprove the scriptures. What he found was the more and more that he found and discovered, the more and more the Word of God was validated and verified. And it happened so much as more evidence and support claims for Christ came in, as he wrote his lists of, this says that it's true and there's really nothing I can point to. He started to realize that he wasn't as concerned about the evidence, having to prove it, because the evidence had proved it. He said, at that point, I realized I didn't want it to be true. I would do whatever I could to find something, anything, to make it not true. Because he said, what I realized when all that fake stuff was revealed, like, okay, it's not proven, there's contradictions. Well, once all that was out of the way and I could no longer hide behind it, what he said, he came to this conclusion, I didn't want it to be true because I didn't want to be accountable to God. I didn't want it. But he found it to be true. And it's a great little documentary, The Case for Christ, about Lee Strobel's search. Where do you stand today as a believer? Is the Lord trying to get your attention? Would you be honest about it, what he is saying to you, about you, what he wants to do? This is the day to let God stop playing the game, stop dodging the questions, and to let God really have you. That we would follow him with all of our hearts, whatever that means. I guarantee you this, it means that the inside of the cup will be cleansed. So those difficult trials, those difficult things that happen, the things that don't work out perfectly, that I'm following the Lord, why didn't it work out perfectly? Those things are permitted by God because he's working in your heart. He's working in your heart first because he wants a genuine follower, a genuine believer, a genuine light. So let down the walls, let down the guardedness, admit that you need the Lord. Let him do the work that he wants to do. Stop blaming everyone else and withdrawing because of everyone else from the Lord. And just know, God's working on your heart. God's sovereign. He's working everything out, and he's going to do what he wants to do. And for me, I just want to be involved in it, whatever it is.
In this day and age in which we live, it's easy to get distracted by everything that's going on around us. The hustle and bustle of life tends to keep us from the things that are truly important as followers of Christ. While there's simply no substitute for the personal reading of God's Word, programs like Building on the Solid Rock are a huge blessing that God uses in the discipleship of countless people. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. For more information about our ministry or to access the archive of messages, log on to our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can subscribe to our podcast while you're there or search for us in the iTunes store under Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. It's absolutely free. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us. We invite you to join us again next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.